Several years ago, I read an article about the regrets that people have at the end of their life. And this list was compiled by a person who worked in a hospital or in hospice care. So they had seen a lot of people die, and they would ask, what regrets do you have? Of course, the number one was, I wish I hadn't spent so much time working. But the one that really stood out to me was people said, I wish I had allowed myself to be happier. Now, think about the wording there. They didn't say, I wish I had been happier. They said, I wish I had allowed myself to be happier. That made a very deep impression on me. It seems to me like those people just kind of let life happen to them. And finally, when it was too late, they realized that happiness was a choice. They had just been sitting around waiting for happiness to find them. Okay, so my subtitle tonight is Taking Control of Your Life. I used this book, Boundaries. It was given to me when I was assigned the topic. It is by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. And this is Titus Nisley's book. I suppose he would loan it to you if you ask very nicely. Okay, so what are boundaries? Boundaries are limits that determine what we are and are not responsible for. They determine how we will spend our time and energy. They shape the way we relate to others and determine what demands we will allow others to make of us. Now, there's a boundary around my property. There's no fence around most of it, but I've got a pretty good idea where it is. In the summer, I take a shovel and a wheelbarrow and I go around digging thistles, something a lot of you are probably familiar with. Now, the thistles on my side of the boundary are my problem. They're my thistles. No one else is going to come dig them for me. The thistles on the other side are not my problem. Now, I know how seeds spread, so I do cross the boundary sometimes to get the thistles in the field, a few. Okay. So boundaries, this is something very important to understand. Boundaries are fences, they are not walls. Walls isolate us. They separate us from people. Boundaries keep the good in and the bad out. A farmer builds fences to contain his livestock. The highway department builds fences beside the highway to keep livestock off the highway. Another thing about fences is they have gates in them. A fence with no gate is pretty useless. And we decide what we let in and out of those gates. There are gates. We control them. Okay, so I asked Anthony to read Galatians 6 for the opening, because this chapter says several things about boundaries. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens, and verse 5 says, let every man bear his own burden. The King James uses burden. My Bible, it's a New American, uses the word load. And there are two different Greek words used here. The King James uses burden for both words, but they're actually different words. The word in verse 2 means something very heavy. Let me see here. Okay. Something that we are not capable of carrying ourselves. And that can be things like tragedy, health problems, different things. Things that Christian believers have a duty to help each other carry. Verse 5, the burden, the word, means cargo or the burden of daily toil. That's the things that each of us have to do ourselves. And we can't expect other people to do those things for us. So we are responsible. We're responsible to others, and we're responsible for ourselves. And it's very important to recognize the difference between those things. I want to read a story given here in the book. I'm going to abbreviate it a little. And as far as I can tell, this is a true story that happened to one of the authors. The parents of a 25-year-old man came to see me with a common request. They wanted me to fix their son, Bill. When I asked where Bill was, they answered, "Oh, he didn't want to come." "Why?" I asked. "Well, he doesn't think he has a problem," they replied. "Maybe he's right," I said to their surprise. "Tell me about it." So they recited a number of problems that Bill had. He couldn't keep a job. He couldn't stay in school. He was using drugs. And every time he got into trouble, they were there to bail him out. Finally, the author said, "I think your son is right. He doesn't have a problem." Of course, they stared at him in disbelief. Finally, the father said, "Did I hear you right? You don't think he has a problem?" "That's correct," I said. "He doesn't have a problem. You do. He can do pretty much whatever he wants. No problem. You fret, you pay, you fret, you worry, you plan. You exert energy to keep him going. He doesn't have a problem because you have taken it from him. Those things should be his problem, but as it now stands, they are yours. Would you like for me to help you help him to have some problems?" Then they started to understand. one of the hardest things that we will encounter, and this is one of the hardest places to draw proper boundaries, is when we're watching someone we love make really bad self-destructive decisions. Of course, we have a duty to help them, encourage them, and pray for them, but we cannot make those decisions for them. And it's imperative for us to have a proper understanding of free will. Now, a while back, Uncle David preached a sermon about man's free will, and he used the word sovereignty to describe man's free will. Of course, we realize it's different than God's sovereignty, but I think that's a really good word to use. Because that is something God has given us, is that free will. And you know what? That is a boundary that God has set. And that's a boundary that he won't cross. Revelations 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. I like this parable because it's got a physical object, the door, representing our boundary of free will. And we see how God respects that boundary. He stands outside and knocks, but he won't break it down. During Jesus' earthly ministry, there were many times when people walked away from him. And we know how much that must have hurt him to see them walk away. But never once is it recorded that he ran after them saying, wait, let me explain, let me talk you into this. He let them go. So next, I want to look at the life of Jesus to see some examples of boundaries that he set during his earthly ministry. First, I want to say a few words about stress. Okay, we all know stress is bad. We know that it has real medical consequences on our bodies. A while back, Popular Science had an article about stress, and they said there are actually two different kinds of stress. There's short-term stress, let's say rushing to meet a deadline, something that's very time-limited. And then there's chronic stress, a problem that you're a long-term problem that you just keep on dealing with. And researchers have found that short-term stress is actually beneficial. It boosts your body. And we all know how a deadline helps you concentrate. That's one of the benefits of short-term stress. But under chronic stress, the body and brain cannot reset hormones and inflammatory chemicals back to normal levels. And setting proper boundaries is one of the things we need to do to manage stress. But it's important that we don't try to completely eliminate stress from our lives. If we do, if you find yourself totally stress-free, you're probably not getting anything useful done with your life. So I believe avoiding stress entirely is going to lead us to just avoiding people and avoiding responsibility. So stress management rather than stress avoidance is what we're looking for here. And I think Jesus' life offers a really good example of stress management. When Jesus spent a lot of time just separating himself from the crowds, even from his disciples, and spending time alone praying with God. Okay, so some examples of boundaries that Jesus set. In Luke 2:48, this is the time when Jesus stayed in the temple debating with the people there, and his family started traveling home without him. So he went back to the temple. Verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. So Joseph and Mary did not really understand what was going on here. And I think your parents can probably relate to this when your baby grows up and starts having a life that's kind of separate from yours. I think you can start to understand how Joseph and Mary felt here. They apparently felt that Jesus was being kind of selfish and inconsiderate, but Jesus was doing what he had come to earth to do, which was glorify his heavenly Father. So he was drawing a boundary here between his duties to his parents and his duty to his heavenly mission. Then in Luke 12:13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? So Jesus was saying, very simply, that's not my job. Now, notice what he did not say. He did not say, your complaint is not important. He did not say, I don't care about you and your brother. He didn't say any of those things. He just said, that is outside my boundaries, not my responsibility. In Mark 10:13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. So Jesus was saying, this is my job. This is within my boundaries. Children are important to me. Matthew 19:16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Okay, so here Jesus was setting a firm boundary. This is what you have to do to enter the kingdom. And he didn't compromise to make it easier. In Matthew 10:12, when Jesus was sending the disciples out to preach and spread the gospel, he was giving them instructions. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So here Jesus was telling them, basically, don't waste your time. And don't waste your time preaching to people who refuse your message. And also, I think he was saying, respect their free will. Don't force it on them. Okay. So now I'd welcome a little input from all of you. Can you think of any other stories, maybe not just in Jesus' life, but other biblical examples of boundaries? Oh, okay.
For now, this is where I belong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good. Thanks for pointing that out.
I just added that that's the only record we have of Jesus' youth.
Mm-hmm. You get the impression sometimes that Jesus was almost fleeing the crowds, and they just kept coming after him.
I think of how he exercised restraint when the message was given or sent to him about Lazarus' death. I would think that his heart would be drawn to this beloved family. And somehow he knew that that's not the right time and delayed his story.
Mm-hmm.
And we know some of the story, how it worked out and what God's plan was, but and probably we don't always, well, I don't know how it was for him in his human experience, what he knew and what, mm-hmm. what was just plainly depending on God's moving. And yet somehow, perhaps we also can learn to be dependent on the Holy Spirit and not just rush to the first or the natural response.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, they call that the tyranny of the urgent, right? How urgent things we think are more important. Mm-hmm. Yes, David. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's, yeah.
Gary mentioned the Spirit helping us. And I think in Paul's life, we see how when he was traveling and evangelizing, they made plans. There was twice where the Spirit made clear, no, you're not supposed to go here and engage in the thing. Then God provided an open door, so here's the open door. Mm-hmm. Now you can trust him to help us in those times.
Yeah. Absolutely right.
I think Elijah's hiding from Ahab during the famine. I would imagine he was struggling with feeling like he should have been doing something like this. But very sad.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you all for your input there. Next, let's look at how to set boundaries. In a nutshell, it's being honest with ourselves about our responsibilities and our limitations. You know, we can't do everything. So be honest with ourselves and be firm with other people. Okay, in the spiritual world, fences are invisible. We create those fences with our words. And the most important word is no. I used to have a hard time saying no when I was asked to do things just because, well, I didn't quite know how to say no. Didn't want to disappoint people. I used to say yes, even when I knew I shouldn't. Just because at the moment it's easier than turning someone down. But learning to say no has really improved the quality of my life. And I have said no to some things that are really important, things that are important to me, but because I just didn't think I had the time to do those things. Remember, every time you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else. You don't have unlimited time and resources. So you just have to be realistic with yourself and figure out what you are saying yes to and what you're saying no to, and which one is more important. No is a confrontational word. And for some people, it's very hard to hear no. Those are the ones that it's hardest to say it to. Now, the Bible instructs us to confront people. Matthew 18 gives an example of the way we should confront people. The word confrontation carries a lot of negative baggage because it usually means hostility. But there are gentle and loving ways to confront people. That's what we talk about when we have preparatory service before communion. We talk about, you know, being willing to approach and be approached. So the word no is a little confrontational, but we can confront in a loving way. Okay. Do any of you care to share a personal story about, or a personal experience about boundaries and ways that you've found to helpful ways you've found to set boundaries in your life? Now, this might be a very personal question. I'm not asking you to share something you're not comfortable sharing, but maybe you've got something that would benefit. The rest of the group. How do you build boundaries in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Nathan, did you have something?
I don't have one specific example, but something that I've learned at different times is if I'm confronted with something that I have a natural inclination to say yes to, I just give myself a little time so I can start feeling how it fits to the things I'm actually already committed to and I have a responsibility for.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. It's something that these authors said is that it's important to pay attention to our emotions. Now, there are two easy mistakes to make when it comes to emotions, two different extremes. We can let emotions rule our lives, or we can just ignore them. And neither one of those is the proper response. Think about emotions like the gauges and warning lights on the dashboard of your car. They're important because they'll let you know if something's wrong. So if you ignore them, you can miss important information. If you only stare at your gauges, you're not going to see where you're going. So that's a little like the way we need to address our emotions. Pay attention to them. Don't fixate on them. I read once about a pilot flying in an air race. His engine was running hot, and he really did not want to drop out of the race. That temperature gauge bothered him so much, he finally put a piece of tape over the gauge. So don't be like that guy. I think he finished the race. I don't remember exactly. These authors say some of the important emotions to watch for are anger, resentment, and envy. Now, we know we're not supposed to be angry, envious, and resentful people. But if you feel that, don't ignore it, because your feelings are trying to tell you something. They say envy is a sign that you're lacking something. Envy is often a symptom of a lack of boundaries. So ask yourself why you don't have the thing you desire, and then ask yourself if you should have it. The Bible says that covetousness is idolatry. It doesn't say it's like idolatry or similar to it. It says it is idolatry. Now, the Buddhists believe that desires are the problem. They believe that to find true enlightenment, you need to reach the point where you desire nothing. Now, they don't have that right either, because there's nothing wrong with wanting to have something. But I believe what the Bible is saying about idolatry is that wanting something becomes idolatry when that thing is more important to us than God, than having a relationship with God. Okay, anger. Anger and resentment can mean someone has violated our boundary. First of all, we need to recognize which boundary has been violated. Then ask yourself if that is a good boundary, or if it's in the proper place. If it's a good boundary, if it's in the proper place, then we need to confront whoever has violated that boundary and explain it to them. Some common myths about boundaries. Number one, if I set boundaries, I'm being selfish. That is not true, because appropriate boundaries actually increase our ability to care about others. And they free up our time and energy to care about others. Selfishness is a fixation on our own wishes and desires to the exclusion of others. We have needs, and it's our responsibility with God's help to meet those needs. We have to make sure our own needs are met, and we can't do that without appropriate boundaries. It's only after our needs are met that we can focus on meeting the needs of other people. Another myth: if I set boundaries, I will be hurt or rejected by others. Well, the short answer is yes, that's possible. Remember, we can't control others. But these authors say boundaries are a litmus test for the quality of relationships. It's very likely that a boundary will initially cause some conflicts and disagreements before the relationship improves. If the person simply cannot accept your boundary, you might be better off without that person. Remember, bonding must come before boundaries. Humans are created for relationship. We need others. It's only from a foundation of healthy relationships that you can build the proper boundaries. Myth number three: when others set boundaries, it injures me. Well, maybe you're feeling hurt, but it's probably your own problem. If you're hurt by others' boundaries, it could be a symptom of unresolved hurt in our own heart. People who've suffered rejection in the past become super sensitive to that, and they sometimes feel rejected when no rejection of any sort was intended. These authors say that we tend to project our own injuries onto others. One response to pain is to disown the bad feeling and throw it onto others. That is called projection. If we find ourselves feeling hurt by others' boundaries, we need to examine our own heart to see if there's something that we need to deal with. And it's very important to resolve this, because if we feel hurt by others' boundaries, then we're going to avoid setting our own boundaries out of fear of hurting other people. Also, an inability to receive someone's boundary might signal that you have an unhealthy dependence on that person. We need other people, but only God can fill our deepest needs. So, in conclusion, setting boundaries really is about stewardship. Taking control of our time and energy will maximize our usefulness to the service of God and other people. Thank you for your time.